Hey, this is Anders, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello? Hello and welcome to another edition of The Centering, a.k.a. TCR. A.K.A. your favorite eSports podcast. Or is it new sport? I don't know.
It's topical.
You be the judge. Episode 114 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location.
Actually, we can be seen now.
Oh, that's right. Well, it's still undisclosed. They don't know where we're at.
That's true.
They don't know. If you do watch us on Twitch, which I'm sure you don't, but if you started, you could see that we finally got the webcam set up going so you can see our faces for better or for worse. The bright side is, our listener base can only go up from here, so our faces aren't going to hurt anything. But this is episode 114 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location, from multiple locations, if you see that. And I think this is going to be the best episode ever. We have Overwatch League quarterfinals to get into. E-League for CSGO, they are making their premiere this weekend, so we will discuss that. We have everyone's favorite game show, Clutch or Kick, the segment where we give a handful of stories and tell you if they are newsworthy, if there's something to keep an eye on, right? If they clutch or kick. But before we get into any of that, be sure and follow us on all social media at The Centering on Twitter. Our website, tcr.gg, has all of the information, Discord, a little email, everything, YouTube, all that fun stuff. I feel like I'm missing something in the intro. That's what happens, Anuj, when you interrupt me. Oh, let me introduce you guys. See, you guys talked out of turn, and I forgot to even introduce you.
Could have got you off
the
game.
We have Anuj. Hello.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
And we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hello, guys.
And as always, again, we are on Twitch right now. You can see our beautiful faces. If that's something you're into, we broadcast the stream live. Again, this will always be a podcast first, though, so you're not really missing anything. It's just, it enhances the listenership. If you want, you can see Brett's sweet man cave. Just ignore the laundry behind him. It's definitely not his laundry room.
No, definitely not the laundry room. I see a Stars jersey back there, and
okay,
FC All Dallas. Right.
But we do have a wonderful show to get to you. Let's get into some Counter-Strike to start today's show off. I think last week we started with Overwatch. So let's get into some Counter-Strike, shall we? As I said, E-League, E-League started off with Counter-Strike. And I feel like they've kind of ventured away from it, right? As far as being like their main staple. Fighting is huge for them. But every year they do have their E-League premiere. Always, and it's actually a pretty big tournament because
it's a $1 million prize pool, so yeah, they treat it still, I think, in my mind, with the same importance. I mean,
yeah,
if $1 million is going to attract the best teams when it's invite, obviously you'll get them all to say yes.
To their credit too, it's almost like a mini major to them, right? Like you said, like mm-hmm. they definitely treat it with as much importance as they always have, even if they don't have the major or not. And the teams that go there, like, they get the top dogs, right? Like, they you definitely won't see any Space Soldiers there, or like DreamHack, right? Where you'll see like some tier
They invited VP
teams.
Last year, didn't they? I feel like they did.
Let me see what last year's premiere was. Yeah, but
VP was in a little better state.
I was
going
to say,
right?
you can't judge them for the VP because that was when everyone was still kind of on the fence on how VP was going to be.
Yeah, turned out well.
Did Astralis win the E-League major?
Yeah.
Was it Astralis versus VP in the E-League meeting, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, you know, VP had a special place in E-League for a long time. Not anymore, though. So these are the teams that are going to be there. Astralis, Cloud9, FaZe, Fnatic, Liquid, MIBR, former SK, Mouse Sports, and Na'Vi. Like, the reason previewing this works out so well is because we are going to talk about almost all of these teams as an individual aspect anyways. Because last week, we spent half the episode talking about what if Tarek leaves and goes to MIBR, only to find out the second we stopped recording, we all decided to look at Twitter, because we're professionals. We don't look at Twitter while doing the show.
No, we don't.
No, sir. No, sir. We are professionals. Though we might want to start, because we have now, we discovered last week that we did all the show, and then like 5 minutes later, Nuge calls me and he goes, bro, Tarek is on MIBR. And I was like, what? And we go, and it's like happened 5 minutes before we started recording. So none of us looked.
We're like, should we get back on? Like, do we get back on and re-record? What do we do here?
Yeah, but it worked out. I think our discussion was still broad enough to where, it wasn't a matter of if, I think it was when, right? Like, everyone knew Tarek was going to go. For whatever reason, players leaving Cloud9 is like the worst kept secrets in all of Counter-Strike. Yeah.
And that's the big point. I mean, Tarek leaving is a big deal, but it's the fact, you know, we talked about the fact that why can't Cloud9 keep guys? Why do they want to leave? You know, they're supposed to be like the top dogs in NA. And
this breakup was finding really
greener pastures.
This breakup to me was really surprising, though. I mean, Stewie leaving initially was, I felt it was pretty shocking. It came out of left field. I mean, I had no, you know, I never thought that team would break up. You come off of winning a major. They seemed like a really close-knit group. You had the Asian persuasion, Tarek, whose personality is fantastic. So to see them...
So when you say break up, you don't mean like just Tarek leaving this time around. You mean like
Like starting with Stewie, that surprised me a lot. Now, Tarek leaving now starts to make sense, right? Because you can see where the team was kind of headed. So at least there was a reason to believe if a change was made and a player wanted to leave, it wasn't as surprising. The Stewie change, you know, started this because Tarek's obviously going to play with Stewie. I think they wanted Automatic to probably come and join, you know, at some point as well, but
you
don't
know.
What,
though? I will say this, though, and I'm a diehard Cloud9 fan. You know, I'm no doubt a homer, right? These players, though, can take their tweet longers and shove it. Like, did you read Tarek's tweet longer? Mm-hmm. Saying I just want to be honest, man. Cloud9's the best organization to play for. They truly want whatever's best for their players. Guys, what we had there, they'll never take it away. But if I'm going to be honest, I want to win. And blah, 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 I'm going off all this. And it's like, it doesn't make sense to me. So if... that makes sense, right? You want to win, and Cloud9 has been having an off game ever since the Boston Major. But they never really gave post-major chance. They never gave time to get over the major hangover, right? Like, it was within a month of the major, they were already making roster moves. You try your owner brings in, he pays $200,000 for FNS to try to have some type of leadership and get a little bit more structure. Well, they didn't want the structure. Like, even in FNS's comments of after getting removed from the team was saying, like, they didn't want to hear it from me. They didn't want to practice as much as I wanted to practice, and it messed up their working out or whatever, and that's why they left. So, like, for Tarek to be like, I want to win, and then he goes to MIBR, who has been, like, one of the worst, I say worst teams that matter over... arguably for the entire year.
But who do you think has a better chance to win? The Cloud9 lineup as is with Tarek staying there, or now the MIBR lineup with Phelps or Bolts leaving and Tarek joining the team? Like, who looks closer to being a championship level team right now is the question.
MIBR, but when they got Stewie, everyone thought, well, just give them the next major, it's done. And that hasn't came even close to how people thought.
It hasn't, but they're still significantly closer, in my opinion, than C9 were with Tarik on the team. Now, again, we're removing Stewie from the equation. Stewie being on MIBR, right? This is not Tarik and Stewie being on Cloud9. This is just Tarik as is
the current situation to know.
A skadoodle who is not what he used to be at all anymore. I mean, he should have been replaced by now, but there's a lot of loyalty there. Plus, you have the major coming up, so you can't make any changes now until after London or you lose your spot. I think he made the right, like, I think he just saw the writing on the wall, like, hey, this team's not going to be good. We're not going to win at the major with this current lineup. You bring in Golden, you bring in Psycho, we'll get into them in a minute, but even had they would have only picked up one of those two, I don't think it would have made them even a guaranteed legend spot going into the major. So I feel like he made the best decision to go and win. I think they have a good chance with him on the team. It wouldn't surprise me if he's got some awesome firepower. It's an upgrade over Bolt, right?
Yeah. And I mean, during the major, didn't Tarik and Stewie anchor down the same sites too? So they're used to kind of like playing with each other there.
Well, they're used to, just playing with each other in general, right?
Yeah. So, I mean,
I just don't see how the things that we've heard behind the scenes on why Tarik or FNS didn't work out with the team. It's just weird to me that you go to MIBR where you have Fallen, who is like all business, right? And he's going to have, I feel like, that same mentality that FNS had. So
but no offense to FNS, he's not Fallen, right? Like, FNS is not Fallen. Even you add FNS to that roster, what belief do you think they had that they just came from the pinnacle of CS, right? Like, I mean, you can't get any higher than winning the major, and now you just replaced Stewie with FNS. And God bless him, FNS is great. He's been around a long time, but he's not Stewie. And you see Skadoodle declining. Again, the motivation level on that team doesn't surprise me that it was a little low at that time. Now you go to MIBR and it's like, Fallen's our leader. It doesn't matter how he does it, but you have Coldzera. You walk into a room and there's four major championships sitting on the wall. It's a little easier to get motivated in that type of environment. Plus, it's fresh. That helps too, right? It's like a change. It's new. Maybe that's what he needed.
I get what you're saying. Like, obviously, Fallen is better than FNS. You're going to take Fallen over everything. I just think, on paper, as of recent, I don't blame Tarik for leaving. It makes sense. But at the same time, I don't think you're going to see that drastically of a difference in his situation, right? Now, with Cloud9, they're in a tough spot too, though, with who they have to replace. Like,
they're in a little bit of a rebuilding mode now, right? Like, they'll figure out what they want to do next.
Well, I think after this major, Skadoodle's got to go one way or another, whether it be his choosing or not.
Yeah, it's like Jason Witten, right, at that point. Kind of, go, we love you, but time. So like,
we're going to retire your number.
We need to take you out back.
Is it going to be like, get a legend spot, replace two more players, get another legend spot, replace another player, and soon there'll be an EU team, right?
Are you talking about Cloud9?
Yeah, Cloud9.
I don't know if they get a legend spot in this major, though. I don't think they have the lineup to really go back and do it. Like, maybe that'd be great if they did, but
if Skadoodle can be, you know, magical, and I mean, Golden and Steiko, they have experience, right? Like, they're not,
yeah,
they do. I'm not saying that they're bad players.
Steiko was on Mouse Sports just when Mouse Sports was like number two in the world, so it's not I mean, that was,
and they've fallen a little bit since he's left.
I was gonna say, when Mouse Sports got rid of him for Snacks, that was kind of a move where people were saying, well, when Snacks is available, you take Snacks, right? Like, it doesn't really matter. You're going to find a way to fit him on your roster. Steiko was kind of the short straw in that scenario. But yeah, Mouse Sports, they've looked kind of rough since Snacks. And I feel like teams are going to almost, I mean, this is a big tournament with a big prize pool, but all these teams can use this as a perfect major, like a prep for the major, you know, because these could arguably be legends teams coming up for the major. I mean, most of them are already. So, actually,
I think Mouse,
everyone but Liquid, right? Is Fnatic a legend?
Fnatic was a legend, I believe. Who knows? Everyone's a legend now in this new format.
True. Very true. So, I don't know. Overall, like I said, I get the move to Tarek because on paper and history shows that MIBR is going to have the more stable roster. I just think going forward, the things that I felt were the issue for Tarek and Cloud9 post-major, they're going to run into similar issues with MIBR. Like, unless all of a sudden Bolts was the issue the whole time and this roster all of a sudden clicks, you know, it was last week we were talking about Cold leaving. So whatever happened with that, I didn't hear anything all week once Tarek, you know, left Cloud9 and joined the team about Cold leaving. Is that still...
They can't. Like, what is he going to do? Nothing will happen before the major.
Well, I know. I know nothing's going to happen before the major. So are all these roster moves going to be determined by how they finish at the major?
I think so. I mean, I think that's pretty common in CS, right? Like, your big event comes up and major happens. Now you have a little bit of a lull before it kind of takes off again. You know, the next major is then 10 months out for CS or whatever it normally is. So, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if you wait till the major, you play, because even if he left, going to Liquid, if you don't make it, you're not guaranteed a major spot. Liquid wasn't a legend, right? Mm-hmm. And then MIBR is going to lose their legend status, so they have to go qualify. It doesn't make sense for any of them to do it just yet. But
nowadays, you win a major, and then you get rid of two players, or two players leave. Like, it's weird, right?
I guess that's a fair point. Winning a major doesn't mean any type of roster lock.
MIBR could win a major and then, you know,
still make a change.
It's like, you know what? I want to go play with Liquid in that fancy Alienware facility.
Correction. Fnatic is a Legends.
Yeah, Fnatic, Cloud9, Mouse. Yeah, sure. But so look at the teams that, that's actually a topic for another time to kind of dive in to the major talk. I guess we'll be doing that here soon. But yeah, I mean, you have a lot of good teams in this tournament coming up, a lot of new rosters to kind of keep an eye on. Again, Mouse Sports playing with Snax. It's exciting. It's cool to see Snax on a new team. I don't know if I would have paid the money they paid for him, but yeah, I mean, I think they earn a group with Navi, who is just coming off the ESL 1 Cologne win, played really well there. So it's going to be good to see that follow up. And you have, you know, in Group B, Fnatic, Navi, Mouse, and Astrology, or Mouse and Fnatic there. That's a fun group to watch.
Olaf Meister is back.
We'll
see which Olaf Meister comes back. Yeah. I mean, now the first time he came back, everyone said like, oh, don't worry, he's been practicing, and then he was here for like what?
He has been playing a lot though. They post it, like they show that he's been in the server rooms for FBLs a while now. Getting ready, yeah.
I guess there's still that weird like
hashtag ad.
You don't know what was there, you know, like you don't know why he was out to begin with.
It's a long time to be gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't like some short stint. Like, it was a personal issue. So
yeah. And then his whole return and then being like, oop, never mind, this isn't working out. And then he comes back and it's kind of, I don't know.
The second time leaving was great though, because Croman finally got some exposure and the guy is playing so well for them. So it'll be nice to see him eventually get a chance on a good team. Wouldn't surprise me. So good for him in that sense. But yeah, without Olaf, it's been hard to grade what they're going to be.
So before we get into Clutch or Kick, looking at Group A and Group B, who do you have going out of those? Group A, I think, is obvious, right?
Cloud9 Liquid.
You know, I'll pick Cloud9 just to keep the bit going. I'll pick Cloud9 and Astralis. But like Astralis is, there's no way they don't win that group, right?
No. Yeah.
Look at Astralis and the Brazilian boys going through there.
Yeah, that's, I'd take the same. That's kind of a no-brainer. Although any of those two NA teams could just show up. It seems like a deal.
I'm going off of recent performance, and I hate MIBR's name, by the way. There's got to be a there's got to be a better short version of that.
I think Cloud9 finishes last in this group just because they haven't had enough playing time together. It's still going to be fresh for them and a big, big change. It'll be interesting to see how they perform. Maybe they surprise us.
I think as far as on paper and stuff, I mean, that Cloud9 and MIBR are going into this tournament with the same, like, they just both had roster moves.
Yeah.
So I I don't know. It's either way, it's going to be interesting to see. I really want to see how I've said MIBR too much in this episode. Made in Brazil is going to perform.
Mibber. Like Mibber. We need to. Whoa. Kind of show, whoa. Hey, I did the hard M.
Let's enunciate that B, sir. All right. Well, you know what? Okay. Right. Worst case scenario, you actually say the N word. You'll go Twitter silence for a month and then get and then hired on by the biggest like tournaments.
Yeah.
No, you know no what? Harm, no I'm gonna foul. Say it. Yeah, just go ahead and say it so we can get a top of the line job because that's how it works in esports. And in Group B, this is the more interesting group for me just because so many of the teams. Fnatic seems to. Props to Fnatic has never gone away. Like even when you thought they were going to, after like their roster blew up,
they just are hang around,
dude. They just know how to be consistent. That's what they are. They're consistent. That being said, I think Na'Vi and FaZe take this right.
Two of the hottest teams right now, right?
Yeah, it's I know. Like Na'vi won a tournament. Yeah, it's.
I like Fnatic's lineup though. I like Fnatic's team. I think they, you know, they added Exist, who was playing well when he stood in for FaZe. And then Draken. I didn't think Draken was the problem on NiP, personally. I think it's some of our all-time favorites there. But, yeah, I like their lineup. I think
Draken, he fell victim on the NiP roster of just being the new guy. You know, like,
well, and there's somebody newer than him, too, right? Yeah. I'm drawing a blank right
now.
Wow.
Oh my god. Rez.
If you're,
Rez, yeah.
Rez. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
If you okay, but I guess you don't kick off the newest guy, right? That's the rules. So
but they did for a long time. Remember? They would keep dropping their fifth every time and get a new one until Daddy Freiburg finally got the boot himself. But yeah, I like Fnatic's lineup, but I still would go with Na'Vi FaZe to advance. Both teams are just playing so well. Fnatic still has something to prove, and Mouse has to show us where they're at with Snacks. So really the only questions that we have, we don't have questions on Na'Vi right now, I don't feel. No. In FaZe, I don't think Olaf will come in and be bad enough to hurt them. He might not be the old Olaf, but I don't think he'll come in and be terrible either.
So like I said, go into this viewing it as almost like a major preview because the majors in a couple weeks. We'll be doing a huge major preview. I say huge. It's going to be part of our on-air broadcast on the ticket in 2 weeks. So we'll break down more of the major. We'll probably recap this this tournament E-League a little bit next week and see how all these roster shakeups do because really this is their only time to play in a tournament atmosphere for a lot of these guys before the major. You know, there's not a whole lot between now and then for them to replicate that type, and $1 million prize pool is a pretty good tournament to do it in.
They'll be there to play.
Yeah, it's
also first Counter-Strike tournament for E-League where Richard Lewis isn't there. We have Machine. Yeah. Machine will be hosting.
Oh, I love Machine.
I'm okay.
We're in good hands. I mean,
yeah, we're in good hands.
I agree. He's great. Smix will be there too.
We're in great hands.
My future wife.
I love her.
I think that ship sailed for you, Tim.
Nah, man. No way.
Nah, man. Nah.
All right. This is the part where you pretend that we have production music for Clutch or Kick. Actually, what is this labeled? No?
No.
I'm clicking buttons, trying to see.
Oh. No. Still no.
Well.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. This is the part where you pretend that we have production music for Clutch or Kick. You know what?
And we've only been doing Clutch or Kick for a year and a half. Like, it's really not.
I was like that one of the first segments we did. So we'll put, just put some jazz in the background. I got to put on my monitoring headphones here, don't I? Anyways, this is time for Clutch or Kick. Everyone's favorite. You know what? I don't like that either. We'll go with this. We're going back to here. Clutch or Kick. Everyone's favorite segment where we take a handful of comments, this time from the listeners, as far as what we feel should the news story clutch the round, should it stick around for you to pay attention to, or does it fail and get kicked to the curb, never to be paid attention again? First topic, Fortnite's official tournament. So Epic Games officially did their first Overwatch Fortnite tournament. It was a $250,000 prize pool. I have to imagine that is part of their big prize money for this year in E-League. Anuj, what was that number? Do you remember?
The money that they were going to give out?
Yeah.
It was $100 million.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Brett and I like Fortnite was going to dish out $100 million and
okay,
their own money, essentially, for Fortnite-sponsored or Epic-sponsored tournaments.
We were trying to remember who did that. And so, all right, so it was $100 million. Anyways, my point is, it ended up bombing. Like, this Fortnite tournament was probably the worst-case scenario you could think of for a debut tournament. There was huge lag issues. It was on a private server. People were getting stuck because of the lag in the storm and dying. People losing fights because of it. They couldn't switch weapons. This was supposed to be a 10-match tournament where the first team to win two won the tournament. They ended up cutting it down after four matches, and they just pulled the ripcord and said, we're done. We'll do this another time. I don't even know what the final results were, as if, you know, who ended up getting the prize pool or anything.
If it even
like that
mattered at that point.
Yeah, like, it, no, to be honest, like,
because that wasn't the story.
No, yeah, and afterwards, that's what it was. It's like, I stopped even looking at that because I was like, man, I wonder, you're right. It wasn't even the headline. So this clutch or kick, I ask you, will the idea of Fortnite being a mainstay in esports clutch or kick a Nuge?
Clutch for sure. It's 100% a clutch for me. I think the reason being is it's too mainstream. I mean, it's just right now, it's still everywhere. If you watch the World Cup, you saw France's star player after he scored a goal in the finals, you know, go up and do the loser dance, essentially, right after he scored. It's just too mainstream still. Regardless, take out our three opinions, right? Some of us like it, some of us don't. But look at the wider audience right now. It's still the most popular game at the moment. These guys are very, very active in their development cycle and bringing out new content and keeping it feeling fresh. They're on their fifth season, and they're just right now, they're basically minting their own money. So it would be a clutch for me because I just don't see it going anywhere anytime soon. And it's a fun game, in my opinion. So,
Brett, you.
And I'm also a clutch, a reluctant clutch. I mean, it hasn't lost any momentum. I mean, yeah, no, right. Ninja's still getting 100,000 viewers. You know, people are still watching.
Where is he today?
At the ESPYs.
Yeah.
Just
at the ESPYs right now.
Like the poster boy for Fortnite is at the ESPYs with mainstream sports. So, I mean, until they maybe have another bad tournament or two bad tournaments, they're really not going to get any, like, back. I mean, there's backlash, but I mean, from an esports standpoint, it would just take something like this a few more times for it to just be irrelevant. I mean,
right.
Irrelevant.
I think
from an esports standpoint,
I agree. I think it's going to be a clutch. I'll stop it. I'm trying to be a professional show here, and it's just not working. No, I think it's going to be a clutch as well, mainly for all the reasons you said. It's their first time ever doing a tournament, right? There's obviously going to be bumps in the road. I'm sure if you went back and looked at the first Counter-Strike tournament, like legit first ever, it was probably horrendous.
Look at the last Counter-Strike tournament 17, 18 years later. What does it matter from first to last?
If the game is good, it
sticks around. You know, ultimately that's what it is, right?
Right. Almost at every Counter-Strike tournament, you have tech delays and issues. Now, it's not as bad, but the point still stands. I think with a game like Fortnite, it is way too popular for all of it to happen. People have the memory of a gnat anyways, so it doesn't really matter.
Shots fired at the human race, Tim. Damn.
I mean, it's true, though, especially in this community, right? No one gets hung up on anything in the esports community. So does it suck? Yes. But look at PUBG. You know, they just had a tournament over the weekend, and it was actually really entertaining. The observing was on point. The commenting was on point. And, you know, I remember the first charity PUBG tournament, like how awful that was.
Yeah, so, the Hide Fest.
Well, just, and that was one thing with this tournament too that did end up happening, which is a something the Battle Royale genre has to figure out a good way to do. Because even in this, there was a kill incentive for having the most kills, but it wasn't nearly as big as a $250,000. So you had professional players not going for kills. They would sit at the edge of the circle and hide in bushes and, you know, hide in little one by ones because it's like, it's $250,000.
It needs to be a 70-30 ratio in my mind. Like 70% needs to go towards like the kill.
Kills.
30% should be the placement.
Yeah,
I agree. There's
got to be something. You know, and maybe that's for another episode to figure out what they can do for the Battle Royale games, because it's crazy, like, even with Fortnite, right? Even on a game that you would, like, you see streamers, right? And you'll have Ninja end a game with 40-something kills, and you put it in a competitive, you know, a competitive world, a competitive match, and all of a sudden these guys easily turn on the, ooh, a lot of money on the line. Maybe I'll just sit here and
wait this out a minute.
Get that top 10 finish. All right, thank you.
No, Fortnite's just in too popular of a spot right now.
Agreed. Up next on Clutch or Kick, WESG, the Chinese Esports World Electronic Sports Games is what it stands for. It's a Chinese company, I believe. It was recently. Not really announced. Who was the Counter-Strike player that tweeted out saying that they're not getting paid? I think it was Zeus. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. I'm not a professional here. You don't come to me for sources. Anyways, it got out that they haven't paid people for their last tournament. It's like lots of issues going on. It's their WESG is blaming multiple parties. They did come out today and make a statement saying that China's rules are different. Like anything over 40,000 requires like the Chinese government to look at it. And then not all the players have even went and signed everything yet. Like they like waivers and things like that. The players haven't gone to sign it. So WESG is saying like, we can't give them their money because they haven't signed waivers. And it's, you know, whether their excuses
something.
Are legit. That's, they could be legit, and you're still going to get people saying their excuses, right? No matter what. That's the nature of the beast. I guess the clutch or kick here, though, would be because WESG is no like small tournament. That's a big tournament that happens every year with big prize pools. Will we ever see the day, though, like where these big tournaments can just have a smooth payout? Clutch or kick, will these players see the money?
Who are you asking? I mean,
we'll start with Brett.
I mean, I would clutch that they will see the money, because if they don't, they're not going to have, you know, teams going and playing for their tournaments. I mean, we've seen this with actual orgs just kind of going by the wayside. You know, one of most recently, you know, there was the denial deal where they weren't playing their players. And if you don't pay your players, no one wants to play for you. So same deal with tournaments. Pay up. Or good luck getting teams going.
Become irrelevant.
Yeah, become irrelevant, yeah.
Can I clutch two things here?
Of course.
Ooh.
I clutch that they get their money, okay? I also clutch that they have not signed the paperwork. It doesn't surprise me that there's something that wasn't done right or something that needed to be signed or something that was missed. So I would definitely clutch that they'll get their money because WESG is too big. I just don't see them trying to ruin their reputation for this necessarily. It's not worth it. But yeah, I also would clutch that players did not do something they were supposed to do.
Yeah, like visa issues, paper signings.
It's like they don't know when they have to try.
Yeah.
The tournaments just sneak up on them. What can they say? So I'm going to clutch the fact that I think WESG... Actually, so no. I'm going to kick this story out. Only because I don't think it's really that big of a story. I think this happens almost with every tournament where like people think that the players win, they get the checks, and then they go home. I think especially with these foreign tournaments, it probably happens more often than not where these players just do not get their money for a long time. And like when I say long time, I mean like within months. right? Especially here where I think WSG is probably telling the truth, right? Look, all these players haven't signed over their, you know, lease or, you know, whatever rights they have to sign off on. And I believe them when they say China probably has some foreign rules where it's like, look, you can't just be handing out hundreds of thousands of dollars without us looking at the reason first.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, I mean, I agree that there's just multiple issues here. It's not just they haven't given us our money.
Right. I don't think it's them trying to, like, do one over on the players, you know? Now, I have heard this multiple times, too, where it's like, I think tournament organizers should probably be able to keep in check with the players more often. But I've also heard that there are rules involved with this, like, legally, like, they have to go and talk to the organizations, like, they would have to go and talk to the team first, like the ownership of the team, because that's who they're actually signing the agreement with. Like I've heard every team does it different. Big surprise that in esports, every team does this differently. But like some teams, when they go to a tournament, they sign off that the organization gets the winnings and then the owner then divvies it up between them. You just heard, I think it was like some Dota team was having an issue with that just a couple weeks ago, where the ownership, they were saying, no, our ownership never gave us the money. And the ownership was saying, no, the league never gave us the money. And it turned into this huge ordeal. So I don't know. I think it's a kick because it probably happens a lot more than, you know, they would like to admit, but that's what it is. In our third clutch or kick topic. Well, that last one was brought to us by a viewer or a listener, by the way, Doug. So thank you, Doug.
Dougie.
The third topic for our clutch or kick wheel today. Oh, that's what we need to do. We need to do a wheel. We need to get sound effects for a wheel. Brett, do a wheel sound effect. We're going to spin the wheel.
Brrr.
Oh, no. Look at what it landed on.
Yeah, you didn't do landed. That. like the Price is Right. No, was right. It the Price is Right? Yeah, it was Price is Right.
Or Jeopardy or something.
It landed on new sports or esports. Tobias Sherman. Now this, I had the same reaction when I first read this. So this just came out maybe a week or so ago. Tobias Sherman, who is the co-creator of E-League, he's very involved with the esports scene or the new sport, as he'd like to call it. Wrote up this write up, saying that how esports, it's time to evolve and mature. And go by the phrase new sports. He's saying that esports is basically putting us in like this bubble with stereotypes and a stigma, and we need to embrace it just like how we call new media, right? Like Twitter, social media, things like that. We call it new media, where TV, newspaper, radio is old media. We need to embrace the new sports title.
Ask me first.
Go ahead,
Anoush. Clutch or kick? Will this story be relevant in a month?
I will be kicking this as hard and as fast as possible. Esports wasn't made up. It evolved into that, right? And that's what it became. And anyone can sit there and try and claim that, hey, I'm the one that thought of the word esport, but I think it just evolved and that's what it became and that's what it is. And it hasn't hurt the
I don't remember just, what esports, like, you know.
That's what I'm saying. It just kind of happened. It just felt right. It's just something that has been there. So I don't think it was us trying to separate ourselves from real sports. I just think it became esports and that's what it is. And it feels right. Sounds right. I don't think there's any changing it. It hasn't hurt the industry. The industry is over $1 billion industry. It's a multi-billion dollar industry at this point. So it's only continued to grow, and new media has helped esports grow, and the two work hand in hand. And I think that's just what it is.
Brett.
I'm with Anoush. I am kicking this so hard. I mean, esports is organic. Like, who out there is just complaining about esports, like the name esports? And if that guy really wants to, like, maybe cut out the stigma, why call it new sports? Why not just call it sports at that point? Like, you're still adding, like, something in front of sports. Like, you want to be like mainstream sports, then just call yourself sports. But just why do we have to argue this? Why can't it just be just organic and separate? Like, so why do we have to be mainstream, right?
To me, like, this is like a two-factor issue with me, because yes, I agree with everything you guys said. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous that all of a sudden he feels like he needs to be this white knight for esports, that like, oh, you know what needs to change? What we call it. Because that's what you should always do when thing is gaining popularity. Just crank the brake and then switch everything up and now call it new sports. It's ridiculous to try to, like Anuj said, claim ownership. I don't think I really used esports even like as a common phrase. Maybe 3 or 4 years ago is when I started like saying, okay, this is called esports. Before, I think I always just called it like competitive gaming. Yeah. You know, like that was what we called it growing up, was competitive gaming. It is what it is. I think, and it's kind of hypocritical of me to even do this, right? Because I think it's ridiculous that he wants to call it new sports and try to change it. But at the same time, I also find it ridiculous when you have people who have been here forever. And when I say here forever, I mean like, you know, the grandfathers of esports. And then they try to strong arm and be a gatekeeper for how new people should interpret it, right? Like, how many times do you see someone spell esports with a lowercase e and a capital S? All the time. Or E apostrophe S. Or they'll capitalize it, you know, like it's a proper noun. And then you'll constantly get people jumping down their throats. That's not how you say it. That's not how you spell it. Who cares, right? Like, who honestly does this affect anything in how people are interpreting the game? Does it affect anything on how people are absorbing esports into their lives? No, it doesn't. It doesn't do anything other than get a few gatekeepers and people of the olden days upset. I won't point names, but they're out there and they're just as guilty for what Tobias Sherman is trying to do right now. By trying to create something new, they are just as guilty on the opposite end of holding on to something that's old and not wanting to progress. So it's definitely a kick, but I will, you know, tip the hat to him for at least trying something. It's just a dumb idea. Plus, I've already spent way too much money on banners and business cards that say esports podcast. So, you know. Got to at least let that one drive out for a little bit longer, and then we can switch up what we're calling.
There's the real motivation.
But,
I'm not paying you for those business cards yet.
Yeah, on second thought.
We are now a new sports podcast.
That sounds so stupid.
Yes. No, it's a dumb idea. It's why I don't know in what world did he think that was going to go over smoothly.
Look, he tried. It is what it is. It's a kick. Like, the story's not going to stick around long anyway. We'll move on.
It just made people laugh at it. Like, people are spending more time laughing about it than they did actually trying to think, maybe we should do this. So that is Clutch or Kick. Insert production value here. Tell us what you think about it. Tell us what you would clutch or kick on Twitter at The Center Ring. Moving on to the next topic at hand. I want to at least touch on, we don't have to go full in depth because I know they're going on right now. And by the time people listen, it's going to be over. And that's just part of it. Overwatch League quarterfinals. Real short here, or real quick. Spitfire ended up beating LA Gladiators. I believe I was the one who said that last week. So pretty genius pick on my part. And Philly ended up beating Boston. And funny enough, though, just goes to show why we don't get paid the big bucks. Because last week we were like, I don't know why they're doing this one game on Wednesday and then finishing them up on a later day. Because they both ended up going to the third match and were actually really entertaining. So go figure.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, go figure. Blizzard got it right. But so then they get reseeded. Philadelphia is playing New York right now. And London Spitfire will be playing Gladiators later tonight and finishing that up throughout the week. I think, like we said last week, I'm not surprised Philadelphia ended up beating Boston. I am surprised that London ended up beating LA in the fashion that they did. You know, technically it's a reverse sweep. I hate calling things a reverse sweep in a best of three just because there's not much to sweep there. It's just kind of like it is what it is. It's just one more game. Yeah. It's not that impressive.
Well, I mean, there's a best of five, or, you know, there's, and I'm kind of with you there, to be honest.
But yeah. I will say, looking at the quarterfinals, Brett, I know you're watching the game right now. How is New York looking in the new meta?
I mean, not good. I mean, it looks like Philly.
What's the score right now? I don't even know.
It's 2-0 right now. And Philly's winning 2-0. And they just took all 3 points on Eichenwald, too. So not looking good for NYXL.
Dude, you know,
the favorites.
Pitch a tent.
It really is. Like,
if you
want to
just do a cheese strat, just hold that thing on the bridge or something. Whew.
Yeah, I mean, you can easily get triggered just, you know, giving up those 3 points with time and then, you know, having to fight your way back on attack in round two.
I'm a little surprised by that, too, though, because I thought with this, well, like, as I was telling you earlier today at lunch, right, my gut said that New York would not so much struggle with this new sniper meta or Hanzo meta, whatever you want to call it, but they wouldn't be as dominant looking as they were. Mainly because one of their star players, MVP of the league, Jonak, plays Zenyatta, and he plays it like a third DPS. You know, like that dude does more damage than some of the top DPS in the league. Well, one of Zenyatta's biggest weakness is that he is slow as all get out. And so it's pretty much a sniper's paradise to play someone like that, where when he runs, his head has like zero bob whatsoever. So it's just an easy headshot. So when you're not only having a Widow to deal with, but possibly a mobile Hanzo that can just get in your face and hit you from a distance. I mean,
your head is 3 times bigger there anyway.
Right. His hitboxes are still a little funky. So I just figured if you could isolate Jonak with New York, then you might find a weakness in the team.
Which is easy to do. I mean, how much has, you know, Overwatch changed since stage one, where, you know, Zenyatta in stage 1, 2, and 3 was an auto pick. He was like 100% pick on every team. But now in this season, I mean, he's picked more often than pretty much any other support player other than Mercy. But you don't see him 100% of the time. And more to your point, Tim, it's a sniper meta. I mean, there are two snipers. You know, teams are using two snipers at one time now with Hanzo and Widowmaker, which can be hell for a Zenyatta player with, you know, that has to kind of play in the back line and maybe has no shield, right? You know, because Reinhardt's up with the other tanks. So, I mean, yeah, it's rough. So, yeah, if they can neutralize him, which they're doing right now, then they could upset.
I did give them the benefit of the doubt, though, and I did pick them to win because you just don't pick against New York.
You don't. I mean,
do it.
I mean, they have the tanks and the DPS to still kind of, you know, to still hang. They have the best support player, MVP of the world, on their team. It's just they just got to adapt.
If you have to decide if you want to play Pine or not, you're in a good situation, but could you imagine if Philly, if they pull off the upset and beat New York? New York is out of the playoffs when the finals is in New York. It's at the Barclays Center. The grand finals is sold out, I can guarantee you, because everyone thinks New York is going to be there anyways. And for them not to make it, like, that would be... I honestly would feel bad for New York fans at that point.
But that never happens, right? I mean, I feel like it's an American sports curse, right? Like, if the finals is in your city, you're not gonna make the finals, right? Like
Minnesota a la last year, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. But even with them down right now, I'm with you, Tim. You can't really count them out. I mean, if they lose this match, they've done a really good job all season of just adapting, changing, fixing what's right. Korean teams typically do that really well. So, you know, I still have NYXL.
Yeah, like I said, even if
they get 3-0'd here.
Yeah. Even if Philly takes the first match, I truly believe New York will be able to turn it around. Now, on the flip side, it's a little bit more up in the air with London Spitfire versus the Valiant coming up later tonight. I know the Valiant were the number two in the league. I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel it. Really? Like, I see it. I look at the stats.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're the more beatable team when it comes to, like, when you think of the top teams. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, and, you know, I guess we should give credit, because that's kind of a thing in the Overwatch scene right now where people kind of get butthurt for not getting credit. But
Slasher getting upset about it.
Right, yeah. So
he'll take all the credit in the world when he's right, but when he gets wrong, by all means, don't mention his name.
Yeah, I mean, Monty just recently came out on ESPN and said that Valiant are the best team in this current meta, which I kind of have to almost agree with them. I mean, I still have NYXL being the better team, but I have LA Valiant actually being better than the London Spitfire right now. I think, you know, I can confidently say that they're going to win against the London Spitfire. I mean, they have Space, you know, new Captain America, I guess you can call him, right? Mm-hmm. On their team, on the off tank, he's just amazing. Good tracking on D.Va. I think he's actually one of the best D.Vas in the league right now in this tank heavy meta that we're currently in. And they seem to figure out their support situation too, which was kind of their weakness earlier in the league with their Zenyatta play. Unko wasn't really doing it for them. They get rid of him, bring on Custa, who's kind of like stabilized that Mercy role. But they have Kareev on their team, which is, he's not as good as Jonak, but I mean, he's a good, you know, two in the league,
right,
at that character. So, I mean, I like what they're doing in LA. I like that roster. So give me LA.
So do you have LA and New York in the finals?
Oh, absolutely. With New York winning, for all right. Sure.
All right. I think that's the safe pick. You know,
safe.
If you're not brave, if you're not willing to walk out on the ledge and live life a little.
Uh-huh.
I think New York will turn it around. I just don't see any scenario where New York loses. Even if, like I said, even if Philadelphia wins tonight, I would be shocked. I would be so shocked to see New York not in the grand finals, and I'm going to be there, so I was really looking forward to seeing like the home team there, but we'll see what happens there. But I think New York will, and you know, I think it's going to be the most boring, dull quarterfinals with Spitfire just destroying it. I think they're going to walk all over Valiant. It's
semifinals. I think, okay, I see what you mean,
or semis, not quarters. Yeah. I've been putting quarters everywhere. I mean semis, you know what I mean. I just think they're going to dominate. In fact, Spitfire might force a forfeit from LA. So that's my pick.
Such a homer, man.
That's my
God.
I'm flipping the script here. I got Philly taking it. They're just playing well. I'm watching here. I'm watching them also on the side screen over here. They look good. They look confident, you know, and confidence, I feel like, matters just as much as skill when you're on the main stage and you're in a playoff situation.
They have that not shock a value season too.
Game.
Like if New York wasn't expecting it, and then all of a sudden they come out, and then New York's like, uh-oh.
Like I have the advantage of picking after they just punched him in the mouth, right? Like they just came out and they just gave him a hard hook in the first round, and they're already stumbling. So I'm going to take Philly to go. I'm also going to go with the Spitfire. I feel like we should have the C9 curse live on. So I will pick Spitfire to advance with them, and Philly taking it in the finals.
All right. So we will do our major grand finals preview next week before. I think we're going to record next Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday, to give people time to listen to our grand finals preview. So we'll get into more of that next week. But for now, let's get into some e-news. It's a light week, for being honest. In CSGO, Snax's buyout was released, and it is a nuge.
290,000.
Wah, wah, wah.
Good luck getting, Tim mentioned this earlier, but good luck getting 800K each for Apex and NBK.
Yeah, like...
Uh-huh.
So, Snacks is 290. G2 wants 800,000 apiece?
I heard Stewie was around half a mil, though. At the same time, so I don't know, I mean...
The money in CS is just crazy for players
right
now.
It really is insane. It's hard to justify it, but then it's
insane,
we don't know how
much
they're getting.
There's also no rhyme or reason to it. Like, it just kind of seems like it's how much the organization likes the player. That has nothing to do with, like, their skill or anything, like, where they're at, you know? It's just like G2.
Like Mike saying that the money isn't the best, right, for an organization side. So it makes me wonder how it works for each of these teams and...
Insane. Insane. And to wrap up E-News, because we got nothing else, Gears of War, they had a tournament, again, New Orleans, where we talked about last week, Gears and Halo sharing the same tournament, which was awesome, by the way. I definitely loved seeing them under the same roof once more. Optic ended up beating Echo Fox in the finals 2-1. In Gears, and in Halo, Splice ended up defeating Tox Gaming 4-3.
Both Halo, or not Halo, but Gears, you know, presentation and all that was really good for them, and people seemed to really enjoy the event. So,
man,
I saw a lot of positive feedback, at least on
I also think
media.
That's the power of the green wall, because I saw Gears, like, it was up in like 30-something thousand viewers, and I was like, whoa, that's pretty legit for Gears. You know, that's a lot of viewers. But then
it's
I saw
more than ESL
Optic
gets on,
man,
Facebook.
It's a testament to the Optic Gaming fan base, right? Like, for all the grief we give them, they don't care what game it is. They will, if they're in the finals, or, you know, if they're playing,
they're going to watch.
They do show up. So I'll give them that. I will give them that. And they're not even involved with Halo anymore, so that kind of hurts. A lot of viewership there, and I mean, every time we bring up Halo, I feel like we do a little a little obituary for the game, because it just doesn't have a good feeling about it. But we'll see. I don't know. I can't talk about it every time. But that's it. That's E-News. Shortest E-News ever. And that is also it for the show. The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. New sports podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you skipped around, if you listened to the whole thing, I love you all the same. Again, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Let us know what you think of the show, what you think of Clutch or Kick. I promise one day I'll do production value. One day I will have proper production. I just don't know the theme I want, you know? But one day it will happen. It will sound like a normal segment and not so awkward. Our website, tcr.gg. Follow us on Discord, or join us on Discord. Join the discussion. We are there. We are 100% in on WoW at the moment. So we're not just esports in there, right? We are video game players. We are fans of games. So join
us. Tell them what server we're on. Come join us.
Nazgul?
Nazgul? We're on Nazgul. We're on the Horde side. I shouldn't ask him to do it. I apologize.
Man, I just log in and I play. That's all I do, all right?
We have communities, though, so if you're on a new server, let us know, and we'd love to add you and the way to talk in-game and enjoy some good conversation. Why not?
We'll be back next week. Look at that. The news, just what happens when you talk. You ruin the ending. Now I got to restart it.
Do the whole thing. You know what?
The whole thing.
The show.
Thank you so much for listening. This is The Center Ring. No, I'm just kidding. I do thank you again for listening, though. We'll be back next week. We're going to preview the Overwatch League Grand Finals. We will know what teams are playing by then. So we will go a big show on that. That will be the majority of the show. We will recap the E-League premiere for Counter-Strike, see where these new rosters end up, how they looked, all that fun stuff. But until then, thank you so much again for listening. For Nuge, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you.